We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, you have ordained this moment that we might hear your word. So may your glorious gospel find a sweet home in our hearts and lives. May we look anew on the bloodstained cross, the empty tomb, and see the price paid that we might be the children of God. Lift us heavenward in your glorious word, dear Lord, that we might rejoice in our Savior all our days. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Once a month, I'm in the routine of going to the nursing home, taking my turn to lead them in devotions. And I look at those that gather around and I see how similar they all are. Everyone who gathers in the room is old, unable to take care of themselves, and pretty close to death. Some differences. There are those that are more lucid in their right mind and able to follow along, and others that look like they really don't know where they are as they're clutching their doll. But often I'll pause and I'll think, I wonder where these people were and what they were doing 20, 30 years ago. I just kind of roll in my head, I wonder if any of them were presidents of a corporation. I wonder if any of them might have written a novel or a symphony. I wonder if any of them raised 12 children. Or whether any of them had discovered a cure for an illness or discovered a new planet or something. I wonder what they've been through, what they've gone through. I wonder if any of them have lived their life pretty much in poverty or disability, and this nursing home isn't really all that much different. Or whether they've lived their life in the lap of luxury, and this is such a come down. I wonder what tragedies they might have seen. Have any of those sitting there actually had a child die due to war or traffic accidents or drugs? What tears have crossed their face over those many years? But as I look at them, they look pretty similar at this point in life because it looks to me like they've lost everything. They've lost their health and their home, their livelihood, their friends, maybe even their family, their independence. They've lost it all. All that they've spent a lifetime at trying to acquire, now it's come to nothing. And that reminds me of the Apostle Paul in our text. When he's writing to the Philippians, he's under house arrest in Rome, chained to guards. He's not able to go about and do whatever he wants to. And at one time, Paul had such a bright future for him. He was the head of his class in Pharisee school. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was the one most likely to succeed because of how he hotly hunted down the enemies of the rulers in Jerusalem. Oh, he was so devoted, dedicated. He was the rising star, it seemed, that no one could stop. Until, of course, he became a Christian. He was dedicated at eradicating the memory and name of Jesus from the land, and then all of a sudden in midstream, he becomes a follower of Jesus and actually trumpets the name of Jesus far and wide. Oh, did that change everything? He lost all his bright future in that one moment. Doors were closed in his face. Enemies lined up against him. And from that moment on, he would have a life filled with pain and poverty and persecution. The only reason he was under house arrest in Rome was because his enemies were following him from town to town, trying to spread lies about him to get him locked up and now off to Rome to try and have a trial before the emperor himself, all because he dared to preach that Jesus is the Messiah. Now we would think with such troubles, Paul might have gotten bitter, depressed, broken. But no, just the opposite. Paul describes how, no, he has found new treasure. Treasures greater than anything known in this world. Treasures found only in Jesus Christ. Notice how he describes his life to the Philippians. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now, doesn't that sound odd? Paul is willing to give up literally everything he has, everything in this world. You see, because Paul's purpose for living was not anchored in anything in this world. His purpose for living came from the one who had given him life to live. Jesus' purpose for giving his life is the purpose we have for living our lives. Paul told the Philippians, Christ took hold of me. Oh, did Christ ever take hold of him? He took him hold of him and threw him to the ground, knocked him off his donkey, all so that he could pick him up in his grace. God struck him with blindness so that he would be able to see. God showed him how, Paul, you are the chief of sinners, all so that he would have absolutely no confidence in his own self-made righteousness according to the law. The Holy Spirit came and baptized Paul by the hand of Ananias, all to reveal to him that Jesus went to his cross and gave over his life unto death, all so that he could pour out on Paul the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. For 3 years, Jesus himself taught Paul in the wilderness of Arabia. And Paul came out of that not trying to earn his own way to heaven, not climb his own stairway to paradise, no. But Paul said, God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God's enormous grace to Paul, his former enemy, now his apostle, his grace to him had a deep and profound effect on the very heart of Paul. He wrote to the Corinthians, I am least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. God's grace on Paul gave Paul a holy hunger, a divine desire, a restlessness to want to know more and experience more of Christ. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That sounds strange. Paul is an apostle. And yet even as an apostle, he has this holy desire to know more about Christ, ever more and more, a deeper and more profound knowledge of just who Christ is and what he has done. For Paul, his life and death, he wanted to truly matter. Not to matter to anyone or anything in this world, but to matter to his heavenly Father. He wanted his life and death to truly be in service to his heavenly Father, whatever was his divine will. Paul also had a full confidence, even though he couldn't figure out how it was actually going to take place, he had a full confidence that he too would rise from the dead and be with God forever. How he's going to put me back together after my body has been in the tomb, he couldn't begin to fathom, but he had confidence that because Jesus lives, he too will live. And so what was Paul's purpose in life? He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Jesus' purpose in giving his life was to save Paul. Paul, in turn, was going to live his life so that he would not lose, but actually receive the victory that Christ has won for him. And so it is for us. We look at life a little differently through a nursing home window. Not only does it become very evident that we're going to lose everything we've ever had, it's so temporary, but also the nursing home teaches us how quickly life flies by. 80, 90, 100 years? Oh, it's about as goes by as quickly as a beep on a heart monitor machine. It's a little dot, and we live and we die. Just that quickly. Eternity never ends. That is forever. So should we be putting our life's energy into this world that comes and goes? Or should we put our life's energy into that which lasts forever? Eternity, whether we spend it in hell or heaven, is unbounded, without any end. How serious that is. And so this Lenten season, as we're standing before Christ's bloody cross and his empty tomb, we ask ourselves that very same question. What's the purpose of my life? What gets us out of bed in the morning? What drives us on to a brand new day? What defines us for who we uniquely are? Or drives us? We have careers. Yeah. Families. We need to make money in order to live. We have places to go, things to do. Is that as good as it gets? We live in this world, but do we live for this world? Or has God given us too a holy hunger along with Paul, a divine drive, a stirring restlessness to know more and experience and know more about our Savior, who he is and what he does for us? Through the eyes of faith, God challenges us to rip down the wallpaper of our three-dimensional world and peer into eternity. What is waiting for us out there beyond this world? What is the purpose of our life? God has given every single Christian a holy purpose from his heart. Jesus' purpose for giving his life is our purpose in living our lives, that we might reach the salvation he has prepared for us. God has taken hold of each and every one of us, called us by name, and said, I want you to be my child. That means something. The Holy Spirit has baptized us and has given us faith that now we can see how Jesus hanging on the cross pays for our sins in his holy blood. His empty tomb spells life and salvation for us. And so his grace defines who we are. Who are we? The children of God. And it sets out for us why we even live, that we might live in His grace all of our days and go home to heaven. It's all about going home to heaven in our Savior's sacrifice. And so, like Paul, we want to spend our days in getting to know the one who has grabbed a hold of us, to grab a hold of Him. God has wrapped His arms of forgiving love around us and calls us heavenward. Do we not want to get to know Him who has His arms around us and will take us home to heaven? To spend our days discovering the power of Jesus' resurrection. It is truly powerful beyond anything in this world. We're not looking for a magic wand, but we do have a supernatural power. Jesus' resurrection transforms us sinners into saints and takes us to the very throne room of God. Is that not power? But what else does Jesus' resurrection do? Jesus' resurrection has the power to unburden us of worry and fear and guilt and strife and shame and all those other things that are so familiar in this world, and to set us free, to liberate us. It has the power to set us free even from temptation. All those temptations that so easily used to trap us, ensnare us, torture us. Now, through the power of Jesus' resurrection, just have no power over us. Jesus' resurrection actually makes us holy. The holy children of God with true power. Power at every word that comes from the mouth of God. The question is, do we plug into that power to live each and every day aglow in His grace? A successful life is truly a life that we live when we run the race God has marked out for us, following His will and growing in His grace. The power for that life comes from Jesus' resurrection. It's amazing to hear it, but in Scripture it talks about how Jesus actually had joy. Joy in going to the cross. Joy in fulfilling His Father's will and saving us. Such joy He was willing to endure. The pain and the anguish and the shame of the cross. All for the joy that was set before Him. Oh, that the Lord would give us joy in our suffering. Joy in pleasing our Heavenly Father. Lord, if this suffering fulfills Your good and glorious wishes, may it be done. May we give glory and honor to You, even though it brings tears to our eyes, to rejoice that God's will is worked in us and through us. Divine joy. Paul has finished his race. He has won, and now he has the crown of glory that awaited him. But we are not home yet with the Lord. So Satan is still nipping at our heels, crouched at our door, tempting us to walk away from our Savior. We must fight him. And we do that with the power that Christ gives us through His cross. All human goals in this life will soon turn to ash and be meaningless, meaningless. But God's goal for us is eternal. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, we press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so we read our Bibles, because there Jesus unfolds Himself in each new page and reveals more and more about Himself and draws us deeper into His grace. with our eyes heavenward. We live each day to renounce our sins and all that would cloud our vision and bring temptation and ruin to our hearts. We live with one eye on eternity as we move through this temporal journey. And we rejoice. Jesus' blood has made us joyous citizens of our home in heaven. We are but strangers here. And soon we will be home. Soon, very soon, He will call us to stand at His side in His glory everlasting, and we will sing His unending praise. Oh Lord, keep us steadfast in our faith to that very day. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, use this Lenten journey once again to grow our faith, to reassure our soul, to give us ever greater delight in Your mercy, Your truth, Your sacrifice. Bless us that we might be a blessing to all around us. In Christ our Savior. Amen.